the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up. So let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible and Living Sound.
After 7 days with the Christians at Puteoli, Paul with a centurion, Julius and his prisoners, set out for Rome.
A cloud of sadness rests upon your face, Paul.
I have long looked forward to a visit to Rome.
Oh, but not like this. Fettered like a common criminal. My fond hope of winning many to the gospel seems destined to failure.
At last, the centurion with his guards and prisoners reached the Forum of Appius, 40 miles from Rome. As they make their way through the crowds that throng the thoroughfare, the gray-haired old man, chained with a group of hardened-looking criminals, receives many glances of scorn and is made the subject of many rude, mocking jests.
Hey there, old man! What have you done? Murdered your wife?
Out of the way, you rude, disrespectful commoners!
Paul, my father in Christ.
Greetings, my son.
I am one of those converted by your words of truth and life at Corinth.
Oh, greetings and salutations. May God continue.
It has come at last. News came from Rome that you were on the way. It's so good to see you again.
In fetters. On my way to Rome to be tried of treason.
We love you and have not forgotten the terrible band of unbelief you removed from our lives. We are forever indebted to you for the wonderful hope of eternal life. We praise God for you and your faithfulness. May he bless you and help you.
Finally, Paul, together with Julius, the prisoners and guards, were again on their slow walk towards Rome. Paul thanked God and took courage.
Oh, they were not ashamed of my bonds.
The cloud of sadness has passed from your face.
My Christian life has been a succession of trials, suffering, disappointments. But I am abundantly repaid, and I rejoice that I can suffer for the sake of Jesus.
With firmer step and joyful heart, Paul continued on the slow way to Rome. At last, in the great city of Rome.
Julius, centurion from Judea, reporting to the captain of the emperor's guards.
Yes, centurion.
I deliver to you prisoners who are to be tried before the emperor.
Oh, you've been a long time getting here.
Yes, sir. Storms, shipwreck. Many things delayed us, captain.
How many prisoners did you lose?
Not one, sir.
Not one? Well, I must commend you, centurion.
The credit belongs not to me, sir, but to this man.
Him? That white-haired old prisoner?
Were it not for him and his God, we would all have been lost, drowned.
Hmm. Well, I would hear about this. Come inside, centurion. A remarkable tale, centurion, if true.
Every word, captain.
You think he's not guilty of the crime with which he's charged?
Paul is guilty of no crime, captain.
Yet he must be tried by the emperor.
Yes, sir, I realize that.
It seems to me cruel to jail such a man with hardened, rough criminals. Have you any suggestions, centurion?
Well, sir, I think that the situation calls for... Attention!
Men of the Royal Army, I congratulate you on your successful journey. Julius, your centurion, will now lead you and your prisoners to the royal prison. All but Paul and his guard. You remain here.
Goodbye, Paul, my friend.
God bless you, Julius. Goodbye.
Detail. Forward. Arch.
Oh, Paul, sir. The letter from Festus and the report of Julius the centurion speak well of you. Instead of placing you in prison, I am going to permit you to live in your own rented house. You will be at liberty to receive visitors and friends, with a guard always chained to you, of course. That is the law.
Thank you, sir.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Hey, little dove, so brown and gray, you make such a sad, sad sound. But you won't be a mourning dove that day when the Lord of the earth comes down. Hey, willow tree with the falling leaves that flow like tears to the ground. There won't be a weeping on that day when the Lord of the earth comes down. You'll be
a laughing willow and a dancing dove.
It seems,
But no, there are questions that have no answers, except for the answers you dream.
What are you doing?
I'm building a tower. What's it look like I'm doing?
It looks like you're heading for that drugstore across the street.
Yes, that's what I do every day after school. You should know that.
But you always buy a candy bar there.
That's right.
Why?
Because I like candy bars, especially the ones with nuts.
But those aren't good for you. They have lots of calories and nothing to keep you from getting sick.
Want one?
Sam, I'm trying to make a point here. By going to that drugstore every day after school, you have formed an unhealthy habit.
I do want to be healthy.
Well, going there isn't going to help you very much, is it?
What should I do?
Make a new habit.
Like what?
Well, do you see Mr. Habib's fruit market over there by the bank?
Mr. Habib is a great guy. He can whistle two notes at the same time.
How about after school you go there instead of the drugstore?
Mr. Habib doesn't sell candy bars.
But he does sell apples, pears, and mangoes. They're sweet, delicious, and filled with things that will make you healthy. That way you can still buy an after-school snack. But your new habit won't rot your teeth and make you as fat as my Uncle Sydney.
What if I get hungry for a candy bar?
Then you eat an apple instead. Pretty soon, your brain will think, I'm hungry. I want an apple.
Okay, let's go see Mr. Habib. He's from Lebanon, you know. Do you think all people from Lebanon can whistle two notes at the same time?
We can ask him.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Jesus died on the cross for us, but then what? Are you sure you're ready for the answer? That's the part about the earthquake and the angel.
And the grave clothes with no body in them? No body, get it? There was no body.
No body? But how did Jesus get out of the tomb?
Well, the answer's in Matthew 28. Will you read it for us?
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. I wish I could have seen that with my very own eyes.
After all that, you'll think that everybody would understand who Jesus is.
Jesus.
greatest man who ever lived, wasn't he?
Well, yes, Jesus is the only person who never, ever sinned. That's because Jesus is more than just a man. Jesus is the Son of God who came to be the Savior of the world.
Yes, but a lot of people don't know that. I think we'd better start telling people.
Wow, that reminds me of the trickle-down theory. God loved us and sent his Son. We accept him and tell our neighbors, who tell their neighbors, who tell their neighbors.
Who tell their neighbors, who tell their neighbors.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 5, An Important Lesson. A couple days later, Sammy met his friends at the shoebox. Although he had told Maria, Chris, and Dee Dee about the light in the window the day after he saw it, Willie and Jenny hadn't been filled in on all the events of the past week. So before class began, Sammy told them about being chased by the bully brothers on the way to the library. They've already been in trouble with the principal for picking on kids, Jenny said. Yeah, Willie agreed, but every time they pass me, they say something like, road hog, just loud enough for me to hear, but not a teacher. Then Sammy excitedly told them about the Underground Railroad and their discovery at the library. We found a book that showed a secret room in a barn. I think Mr. Chambers' house has a second wall just like it. Cool, Willie said, but how can you be sure? There you all are, Mrs. Shue said. It's time to start class. What are you doing out here? Oh, we were just talking about secret rooms, Sammy answered. We didn't think we should talk about that during class. I appreciate that, Mrs. Shue said, smiling. I'm sure God does, too. But it's time to come in now. After our lesson is over, and if there's a little time left, you can talk some more about secret rooms. You can even tell me about it. It sounds exciting. After the friends settled down for a class, Mrs. Shue began. How was everyone's week? She asked. Mrs. Shue always started class this way. She liked to know if anyone was having any problems with anything. Is anyone having difficulty with something they'd like to share? Six hands went up. Oh, my goodness, Mrs. Shue said. It must have been a rough week. Sammy, why don't you start? I think we're all having the same problem. There are two new kids at Willie and Jenny's school. Twins. Sixth graders. They pick on everybody. They made fun of us when we were playing ball. They call me names at school, Jenny said. Me too, Willie chimed in. They chased us when we were going to the library, Maria and Dee Dee added. Why don't they like us? Sammy asked. They don't know anything about us, but they made fun of us anyway. Let's talk about this a little, Mrs. Shue said. Have you ever heard the saying, you can't judge a book by its cover? Several heads nodded. Jenny, Mrs. Shue said, can you tell us what it means? I think it means, Jenny began, that when you look at the cover of a book, you can't be sure if the story is good or not if you just look at the picture on the front. That happened to me once, Willie said. I picked a book out of a kid's catalog. It was supposed to be a great adventure story. The picture on the cover showed a ship in a storm, but when I read the book, it had monsters and magic in it. It was so scary I didn't even finish it. An excellent example, Willie, Mrs. Shue said. I have another situation for you now. Suppose it's your birthday and you have a beautifully wrapped present handed to you. Can you tell what the gift is on the inside just by looking at the wrapping? No way, Sammy said. One time I opened up this really cool-looking present. It was underwear for my Uncle Locke. The kids and Mrs. Shue laughed. But another time my grandparents gave me this plain brown shoebox, Sammy continued. I wondered what dumb present would be inside. Then the box meowed. Whispers, who was just a kitten, was inside. That was the best birthday ever. I think you're all catching on to the idea, Mrs. Shue said. You can't judge what someone or something is like based only on what you see on the outside. Let's see what God says about judging others. Mrs. Shue picked up her Bible, and so did the kids. All right, let's see, Mrs. Shue said, thinking out loud. Let's try John 7:24. The shoebox kids turned quickly to the New Testament. They all knew the books of the Bible and could find them easily. Sometimes they made a game out of it. Willie's hand shot up first. I've got it, he said. Please read the verse out of your International Children's Bible, Willie, Mrs. Shue said. Stop judging by the way things look. Be fair and judge by what is really right, Willie read. Pretty clear, isn't it, class? Mrs. Shue said. Now let's see how God judges us. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Sammy, why don't you read that one? Start with the second part of the verse. Sammy began, God does not see the same way people see. People look at the outside of a person, but the Lord looks at the heart. So then, Mrs. Shue continued, God is interested in what we're like inside. Therefore, does it matter what people think and say about us if we keep Jesus in our heart? No, the shoebox kids answered, their heads shaking back and forth. But what do we do about those who call people names, like those awful bullies, Jenny asked. It may be hard, but we simply have to let God work it out, Mrs. Shue answered. It is very important to remember that we should not judge others for their behaviors. Romans 2:1-3 says that if we judge others, we are no different than they are for judging. It seems too hard to ignore those bullies, though, Willie said. Sammy smiled. You know something, he said, right before the bullies tripped over the tree roots and sidewalk, I prayed to God and asked him to help us get away from them, and then they tripped. Chris jumped up and pretended to be a brother tripping over the roots and falling down. Everyone laughed except Mrs. Shue. It's possible, she said, that God did use the tree to slow the brothers down and let you get safely to the library. But, she added, we don't want to make fun of someone else's misfortune. That isn't right either. Mrs. Shue looked down at her watch. Oh, dear, I didn't realize so much time had gone by. We have a little time left, Sammy. I'd love to hear more about this secret room business. Sammy quickly filled Mrs. Shue in on the round window at Mr. Chambers' house. He explained his feeling that there was a secret room just like inside the barn that was part of the Underground Railroad. But I have to know for sure, Sammy said. The librarian said that the historical library or an old architectural firm of Smith and... Oh, I forget the other name. But they might have old floor plans to the house or some other information. Do you mean the Smith and Bowers architects? Mrs. Shue asked. Yeah, that's it, Sammy said. I know Tom Smith quite well, Mrs. Shue said. His great-grandfather started the firm over 100 years ago. Mrs. Shue paused. I'll tell you what, she said. Why don't you all meet at my house Monday after school, and we'll go over to the firm together. And just maybe we'll find the plans to Mr. Chambers' house. And just maybe, Sammy said excitedly, the plans will prove that there is a secret room.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 9, The Secret of the Hidden Room, written by Nancy Speck, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.